You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is 1962, December, after the midterm election, looking to the Christmas holidays. But a surprising letter from the President of the United States to Adlai Stevenson, then ambassador to the United Nations, brings back the reason to review again and again how history is made, how history is perceived, and then how revisionism helps understand crises. This is the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Cold War, the standoff between Nikita Khrushchev, first secretary of the Soviet Communist Party, with nuclear weapons, and John F. Kennedy, president of the United States, head of the Democratic Party, with nuclear weapons. This is a time where there was no clarity whatsoever. It was the fog of Cold War. And I very much appreciate the help of Peter Kornbluh, directing the Cuba Documentation Project at the National Security Archive at George Washington University. He is co-author with William Leo Grand of Back Channel to Cuba, The Hidden History of Negotiations Between Washington and Havana. Peter has published in Foreign Policy a revelation of a letter written by the president to his ambassador to the United Nations that reveals what we didn't know in 1962 and what took many years, decades, to reveal itself about the actual deal that was made between Kennedy and Khrushchev, between the United States and the Soviet Union, to avoid what came very close to be an accidental nuclear exchange. Peter, congratulations for this, and a very good evening to you. The history of the Cuban Missile Crisis, 60 years now, marks revelations in August of 62 by the CIA that something strange was going on in Cuba. In September of 62, the president was aware that there was word that the Cubans were vouchsafing something sinister from the Soviets, but there was no clarity because for reasons to do with the Cold War tensions, U-2 flights over Cuba were suspended for some weeks. It was not until the middle of October, October 14th is the date I have, that the photographs emerged from a U-2 overflight to show, yes, indeed, there were intermediate range, nuclear capable missiles placed in Cuba, and there was every reason to believe these were a threat to the east coast of the United States, to the safety of the world. Those matters are fixed. What was not fixed was how these two sides negotiated with each other and came to a conclusion. That is why the letter of December of 62 from the president to Adlai Stevenson is so revelatory. I read just the first note of the letter for you to explain, Peter. This is the president writing to Adlai Stevenson. Dear Adlai, this is just a note to tell you again how deeply I regret the unfortunate fuss which has arisen over the statements contained in the Saturday Evening Post article. Peter, congratulations. What Saturday Evening Post? And why is the president apologizing to Adlai Stevenson? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. You know, this is a fascinating history, but it's really a history of the spin, the official but fabricated narrative that the Kennedy administration put out in the days following the conclusion of the Cuban Missile Crisis, about how that crisis came to an end peacefully and the world avoided nuclear Armageddon. And the Saturday Evening Post article And we have to remember the Saturday Evening Post was an extremely influential magazine at the time that a lot of people read, became very famous for its Norman Rockwell covers. The Saturday Evening Post was publishing an article the first week of December called In Time of Crisis, which was an insider account of how Kennedy and his aides had confronted the Russians and forced Khrushchev to withdraw the missiles. That was the tone that article took. It opened with what became the instantaneous iconic summary of the crisis. Secretary of State Dean Rusk supposedly stating, "We're eyeball to eyeball, and I think the other fellow just blinked." And that was the tenor of the article. It cast Kennedy as basically having nerves of steel and courage and being resolute. But it had a scapegoat, a sacrificial lamb, if you will, in the article. And that was Ambassador Adlai Stevenson, who was cast as an appeaser. An unnamed source in the administration was quoted as saying Adlai wanted a Munich. He wanted to trade U.S. missile bases in other parts of the world for the Soviet missiles in Cuba. He preferred political negotiation over the use of military action, as if there was something wrong with that. The article was promoted by the editors of Saturday Evening Post because of this attack on Stevenson's reputation. It basically said, this is the big reveal about what Adlai Stevenson did during the secret advisory meetings during the crisis. You know, he wanted to appease Russia, but Kennedy stood strong. And that was the narrative that got put out, and it covered up the truth of how the missile crisis ended, that John F. Kennedy had taken Stevenson's advice from the first day of the crisis and secretly traded U.S. missiles in Turkey for the withdrawal of the Soviet missiles in Cuba. So the lessons of the Cuban Missile Crisis were completely distorted from the get-go by this article. And the uproar over the article is why Kennedy eventually wrote that letter that you're quoting to Adlai Stevenson.
It is a wonderful revelation because, of course, Munich is a term that's been used many times since 1938. To accuse a statesman of conceding, surrendering, backing down, being weak. You charge somebody with Munich, it's the same way of saying an appeaser, it's the same way of saying a loser, a quitter. So in reviewing again what we learned from Peter's article, and I urge everybody to study not only Peter's explication, but the original Saturday Evening Post piece, which is linked in Peter's article at FP. It is written by Stuart Alsop, a very famous, well-known political commentator, and Charles Bartlett. Who is Charles Bartlett in 1962, and what knowledge does he have of the facts of the matter, not of the legend of the matter?
Well, John, that's a very important question, because Charles Bartlett was one of John F. Kennedy's closest friends. Not only did he introduce John Kennedy to his future wife, Jacqueline Bouvier, but he was an usher at their wedding. And during the missile crisis, he was a secret intermediary between Kennedy and a Soviet intelligence officer at the Soviet embassy in Washington, carrying messages about resolving the crisis. So he was so close to the president, of course, the fact that he had co-authored this article raised immediate suspicions that Kennedy himself was basically behind what the article said. And in truth, John F. Kennedy had seen the manuscript for the article. He edited the manuscript for the article and knew that the article was going to attack Adlai Stevenson as being soft on the Soviets. And this served Kennedy's purposes because he wanted to cover up the fact that he had taken Stevenson's advice and actually swapped these missiles. The advice was wise, but because of the political culture, a culture that we still have, regrettably, the political attack was that you're soft if you actually negotiate. and you're a hero if you actually go to war. As Adlai Stevenson himself said in a Time magazine cover story on him, right after the Saturday Evening Post piece became a huge controversy, Stevenson himself was quoted as saying, "I guess we live in an era in which if you want to go to war, you're a hero, and if you want to have peace, you're a bum." And so the point was, is we faced the dangers of nuclear Armageddon, and Kennedy wisely took the advice to negotiate his way out of this, finding what Joe Biden has recently called an off-ramp for Khrushchev to withdraw the missiles. And that was a relatively cheap cost, withdrawing these missiles in Turkey, which were already obsolete because they were above ground, in return for Khrushchev withdrawing the missiles in Cuba and ending the crisis peacefully. So we should all be grateful to Stevenson and to Kennedy for negotiating their way out of this, you know, horrible, horrible, catastrophic, potentially catastrophic situation. But from the beginning, the history was distorted and the wrong lessons from the crisis were put out there for everybody to learn.
I'm speaking with Peter Kornbluh, who is writing at Foreign Policy, revelations about the exchange between two major Democratic Party figures in the 1960s, one President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, the other Adlai Stevenson, former governor of Illinois, former candidate twice for the presidency, now at this time ambassador to the United Nations. And when we come back, let's attend a meeting of XCOM, the meeting of nine men who decided the fate of the United States and Cuba and the world at the time, in their opinion, facing the unknowns of the presidium of the Soviet Union. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.